Chapter 10
Nia!
I cried out, and I ran to where my wife had crumpled. Nia's legs were folded beneath her, and her ashen hair was splayed out on the debris-covered ground. Her lips were parted slightly, but her eyes were shut. This wasn't good. I crouched down beside her and shook her gently. Nia? Nia, please wake up! I begged, but the mage was unresponsive. So I jostled her shoulders, but her body was limp beneath me, and ice cold to the touch. I gingerly lifted her upper half into my lap, took her face in my hands, and pushed a few strands of hair from her sweat-covered face. Blood pulled from her ears, nose, and mouth, and the vibrant red hue against her ghostly white skin was alarming. Mana depletion. It was a mage's worst nightmare, and it had the possibility of being fatal, especially without a healer around. We'd been in this position before, but Arwen and Meriden had been there to help us with potions and mana replacement. This was a million times worse. I'd never seen anyone channel that kind of power, and the mental image of Nia's blackened Skelra haunted me. That kind of magic was unheard of, and apparently it came at a steep price. Nia, please! I urged, and tears welled up in my eyes.
Wake up, damn it!
I placed my head to her chest and prayed to the Maker there would be a sound. Luckily, her chest rose lightly, but her breaths were strained and shallow. If I didn't do something quickly, Nia would die. I needed to find help, so I scooped my wife up into my arms and summoned Dio to my side. When the saber-toothed cat saw Nia's nearly lifeless body, the cat's eyes grew huge, and I could feel his pain echo in my mind. No, the monster muttered, and his eyes were wet with tears as he looked at Nia.
Is she? We need to get back to the cabin, I declared. Hopefully someone there can help us. Then let's go!
Dio growled with determination, and my familiar immediately bowed down for me to mount him.
Hop aboard!
I swept Nia over my shoulder and pulled myself up onto Dio. Once I was settled with my wife securely up against me, I commanded Dio to run, and the tawny monster galloped through the damaged forest to the cabin. The cicada monster had done a number on the trees, but anything else could be attributed to Nia's elemental explosion. Viscous blood, burnt limbs, and smoke lingered in the breeze, and there was a distinct circle of forest that was near obliterated from the battle. I felt sorry for the wildlife that lived in the area, but then again, the forest was enormous, and nature had a way of healing itself. It would take time, but all would mend itself eventually. I cradled Nia close to me and held her as tightly as possible. It was difficult to hold her while riding a 20-foot saber-toothed cat, but I managed to lock my legs in place as Dio ran. As we raced to the cabin, I kept an eye on Nia's breathing, but as we got closer and closer, her pulse began to weaken, and my own heart rate accelerated.
Stay with me,
I begged her, and my hands trembled as I held her steady.
You can't leave me now, Kennefic! You made me a promise!
Finally, we arrived at the cabin, and Dio let out a loud roar as we came to a stop.
Save our girl, my familiar said firmly, no matter what the cost.
That's the plan, buddy, I promised, and then I carefully climbed off the monster, and with Nia still in my arms, I ran to the front door while I yelled as loudly as possible.
I need help out here! I need a healer! A doctor! Someone! Please!
I waited a moment, but there was no response, so I kicked the door with as much strength as I could muster.
Someone!
I shouted, and my voice cracked as I did.
We need help!
Suddenly, I heard a rustle behind the door, and then it flung open, and an older gentleman stepped out onto the stoop.
What's going on?
He began. But he trailed off as he noticed Nia in my arms.
Oh, Maker.
His skin went pale,
and with trembling hands he waved me inside, so I carried my wife through the front door. The crowd of villagers in the living room parted, and they fell silent as they took in the sight of my unconscious wife. I laid Nia down on one of the unoccupied sofas and crouched down beside her.
"Is she?"
the older woman from earlier today started to ask, but she couldn't bring herself to finish her sentence.
"She's still alive," I said, "but not for long if I don't get help."
"What in the Maker's name happened to her?"
the gentleman who'd opened the door asked with a furrowed brow.
"The bug monster was a lot stronger than anticipated," I explained quickly. "It had some kind of hard shell that made it almost impossible to penetrate. Nia tried every type of magic she had, and everything she attempted was too weak to defeat it. I don't understand how it was possible, but somehow she combined all of her magics. And I can't explain what happened next. I don't even fully understand it myself, and I was there with her. But she used up too much mana, and now..."
"Breathe, son,"
the man urged me, and he gestured for me to sit, but I physically couldn't bring myself to do so. I couldn't relax, not when my wife was possibly on the verge of death. The man examined Nia and lifted her limp hand off the sofa. Then his mouth settled into a thin line, and he shook his head back and forth slowly.
"I've seen mana depletion, but never to this extreme before,"
the man muttered. "She used more magic in one burst than I've ever seen in my entire life," I breathed.
"She's still alive, but barely,"
the man assessed as he studied Nia.
"Whatever magic she used, it was some strong stuff. She's lucky to still be holding on."
"I know that," I said, my tone more cross than I intended. But then again, these circumstances weren't within the norm of socializing. "She needs a potion. The nurse back at the Academy in Varlay has them in the infirmary for when students' mana is depleted in battle. Surely someone here has something like that." The man took a deep breath, ran his hand through his dark gray hair, and closed his eyes in sadness for a moment before he proceeded.
"Griff, there's nothing we can do," he said softly.
"What do you mean?" I demanded.
"There has to be something."
"I'm afraid there isn't," the man replied.
You have to be kidding me,"
I spat, and anger swelled in my chest as I fought back tears.
"Griff,
look, I don't ever pull this card,
but without us, none of you would have made it out of Adorna today,"
I practically shouted at the man.
"Nia risked her life to shepherd you through the forest to avoid the Vincrimsel, and then she went back out to fight the bug monster."
"And we appreciate everything she's done, but..."
"There are no buts here. I need your help. Nia needs your help. She went out to fight that monster, and it's dead because of her magic."
"Son, I'm not saying any of this because I don't want to help,"
the man said firmly, and his tone was much louder than it was moments ago.
"Trust me, I want nothing more than to be able to heal your wife. Her bravery in battle today is worthy of 1,000 praises. The fact of the matter is, all of our potions and medicines in Adorna were destroyed. The attack came too quickly to save any of it. It's not that I don't want to save your wife. I just don't have the materials to do so."
That information weighed heavily on my mind, and I stood there for a moment and tried to process. They didn't have the potions. Of course they didn't have anything. Adorna had been torn to shreds by the Vincrimsel. The villagers wouldn't have thought to grab something like a mana potion on their way out.
"So where is the nearest town?"
I demanded.
"Perhaps I can find a healing potion there, or a doctor who can help."
The man shook his head slowly, and his gray eyes were weary.
"Adorna was the only village for miles that had potions,"
he admitted with a sigh.
"People from all over the region would travel to our apothecary for all their needs. There simply isn't another one around."
"So what do I do then?" I asked, and desperation made my voice crack.
Am I supposed to just let her die? There aren't any other options?
Your best and honestly only possibility would be to travel over to Noelstelv,
the man informed me.
It's a small town to the south of here, and they just so happen to have a train station.
A train station, I repeated. I wasn't quite following what the man was saying, and my mind was racing too fast to comprehend much of anything.
It could take you back to your academy, or anyone else nearby that may have a doctor, but I don't know where that would be.
The man shrugged, and he tucked his shaky hands into his trouser pockets.
Unfortunately, it's one of the only options available, and based off her pallor, a decision needs to be made straight away.
I considered his words for a moment and studied my wife. The man was correct. If Nia didn't receive medical attention straight away, she wouldn't make it. I briefly entertained the idea of flying directly to Varley on the Pyreworm, or even Sarah's Snapdarner, but the effort would require too much mana after I'd exhausted so much during the battle, and the train would likely be a lot faster than my monsters anyway. As Nia's husband, it was my duty to protect her, so I needed to do anything I could, even if the risk was large. You're right, I agreed as I glanced at Nia. How far is Noelstelv from here?
Depends on the method of transportation, but maybe an hour or two, the man replied. Unfortunately, we don't have any carriages right now, so you may need to use one of your creatures.
There was no other choice. I had to do something to save the woman I loved. Okay, I agreed. Noelstelv it is. It was time to leave the cabin and set out for the town. I considered grabbing our belongings from the upstairs bedroom, but time was of the essence, and I needed to get Nia on a train to Varley as quickly as possible. We would have to send for our suitcases once Nia was healed up. Besides, there wasn't anything in there that wasn't important enough to warrant any extra maneuvering, so I gently lifted my wife up from the sofa and carried her in my arms. Her silver hair flowed around her, and I had to raise her up higher to keep it from dragging on the ground. I was about to walk out the door when the older gentleman stepped closer to me.
Grave, he began, thank you for everything. I hope your wife...
Thank you, I nodded, but I couldn't bear to hear the rest of his sentence. Once I get to Varley, I'll send word to Grand Mage Kennefic straight away, and hopefully he can get some troops out to Adorna and help you all rebuild.
Thank you for your kindness.
The older gentleman nodded back. Then the older woman from before joined the man's side.
Best of luck, Griff of Njordenfalls,
she said softly, and her dark green eyes were warm and sincere as she reached out and touched my shoulder.
I will pray to the Maker for your safe travel and your wife's recovery. I know things seem impossible and odds feel against you, but have faith. You and your wife have overcome many battles, and this is just one more. But you will conquer. I am sure of it.
Thank you for your kind words today. I thanked the woman, and then I addressed both her and the man. I'm happy to have met you both.
Call on me any time you are near Adorna,
the old woman said.
My name is Marja Mires.
And I am her brother, Devlin Mires,
the man smiled.
I hope we will meet again one day.
I hope so too, I said. And after one last wave goodbye to the villagers, I carefully carried Nia out the door. Dio had waited in the yard, and the tawny beast paced back and forth nervously. When he spotted me, his ears stuck straight up into the air.
How do we fix her?
He asked determinedly, and his nub of a tail flicked back and forth. She needs a potion, and apparently Adorna was the only place around here with an apothecary, I sighed. The villagers told me I have to go to Noelstelv and hop on a train.
Climb aboard,
Dio said, and the saber-toothed cat squatted low to the snow-covered ground.
I'll have us there in no time, and then Nia will be better, and she can give me lovin's, and I'll give her lovin's. She looks like she could use them.
It's too far, and you've done a lot of running today, I pointed out. I'll need to find some kind of alternative so you don't collapse on me too.
I can handle it,
Dio growled. Sadness swept over me. I knew Dio only wanted to help, and he loved Nia almost as much as I did. I know you can, but this isn't about us, buddy, I said to him softly. We have to get Nia to that train so we can get her to Varley as soon as possible.
Okay,
Dio reluctantly agreed, and then the big cat shrunk down to kitten size.
Pouch?
I steadied Nia in my arms and then opened my hip pouch, just enough for Dio to jump up and climb inside. I felt the cat settle in, and then I turned my attention back to my wife. Her complexion had grown even paler, if that was even possible. And though she still had a pulse, she was looking less like a person and more like a corpse by the moment. I cupped Nia's cheek and resisted the urge to break down into sobs. She needed me to be strong for her, so that's what I had to do. I reached around to my bandolier and summoned my pyre worm. Since it had only been used to transport us from the cabin to Adorna, the pyre worm hadn't used up too much energy, and I felt comfortable with flying it to Noel's dev. The serpentine pyre worm appeared in a burst of smoke and lowered itself so I could mount it. Once I had Nia settled against me, the pyre worm flapped its shadowy dark wings, and we rose up into the air. While I didn't want to fly too low with all of the pines surrounding us, I also didn't want to risk going too high while holding on to my unconscious wife. So I ordered the pyre worm to fly at a height somewhere between the extremes. Its pace was quick, but not too fast that I couldn't hold on. Brisk air was harsh against my skin, and I immediately wished I'd thought to bring a warm blanket for Nia and I to warm ourselves with. I shivered. Maker. All I wanted was a piping hot bath and my loving wife there to share it with me. Once she was completely healed, I would whisk her away for a proper honeymoon, one that didn't involve monsters or battles. I curled Nia up closer to me, and as I stroked my wife's silver blonde hair, I remembered the first time Nia and I had ended up in the infirmary together. It was during my first year at the academy. We'd been mid-duel when a rift had opened up, and like the cocky bastard I was, I'd leapt into the portal of the Shadowscape to take down whatever monsters popped up. Scared for my safety, yet incredibly pissed, Nia jumped in after me as backup, and together, we'd combined our magic and our abilities and fought off the monsters in our way. Of course, we'd depleted our mana in the process, but still, it was the first time we worked together as a team, and now, here we were, husband and wife. I snuggled her closer to me and kissed her icy forehead, and I wished she could wake up so I could tell her just how much I loved her.
She's waning, you know.
Sarah's voice rang through my mind as my brow furrowed at the sound of it.
How did you...
Your human wife. You're worried so much that you haven't been concentrating on much else, I'm afraid.
Sarah murmured.
The wards loosened up a bit, and here I am.
Great. I sighed. Just what I need right now.
I miss having fun together.
Sarah pouted.
We haven't played together in ages.
Sarah, this seriously isn't a good time, I growled.
I'll say,
Sarah quipped. I'm serious, Sarah, I snapped. I don't have anything to say to you right now, and I have more important things to worry about.
What have I done to make you hate me?
The dark winged Arkan sighed.
I know I have been a little aggressive when it comes to our agreement.
A little? I snorted.
I desire your powerful seed, Sarah murmured. I don't see the problem in going after what you want.
I sighed. This again. The only hope I had to sway the conversation was to change the subject entirely, which proved to be easy as her prior words sank in. What do you mean by she's waning? I wondered, as I pulled Nia even tighter. The pyre worm had picked up speed, and the flight was less than smooth.
I meant it as I said it,
Sarah replied simply.
Your human wife served as a vessel for all of that raw, untapped energy. Even for a goddess, that would have been an impressive feat. Unfortunately, human bodies were not meant to control that type of magic. It's wild. Intense. She was pushed too far.
Her mana was depleted, I said.
She's going to die. You know that, right?
I'm getting her to the train station in Noelstev. And from there, we're heading back to Varlay so Arwen or Meriden can heal her up, I replied, and my tone grew irritated. She's going to be fine.
Master, that will take far too long, Sarah murmured. She doesn't have that much time.
Don't say that, I spat.
I know it's hard to believe, but I'm not taking pleasure in telling you this,
the Arkan murmured in an almost soothing voice. That's definitely way too hard to believe.
I don't enjoy the human woman. I can't lie about that, Sarah admitted. But my remarks about her health don't stem from jealousy. I'm hurting for you, Master. And I sincerely mean it when I say that at the rate she is going, she will not make it through the train ride.
Then what do you suggest I do? I scoffed. Ride this monster all the way to Varlay?
Of course not. This thing couldn't make it all of the way there. You're too far away. And though this monster didn't fight today, it still doesn't have all of its energy.
I laughed.
So, what is it then? What do you propose I do? Come on, Sarah, I'm all ears.
I'm not talking about human transportation, Sarah murmured. I had other avenues in mind.
Excuse me? I asked, and I was completely lost.
It would require a bit of mana, the Dark Arkan warned.
What are you talking about? I wondered with a raised eyebrow.
Opening a portal directly to Varlay, Sarah suggested,
and my jaw descended toward the floor. A portal? Directly to Varlay, I said slowly.
How will that...
I told you, it requires quite a bit of mana, but it is the only way she will get the urgent care she needs.
I'm not so much concerned about the amount of mana as much as I am about the timing of this proposal, I growled. Has this always been an option? I thought I could only open portals through the Shadowscape.
It is possible to open them in this realm as well.
Why didn't you suggest this in the Southern Continent? I demanded. Was it possible then as well? I felt anger rise in my chest as I thought about all of the struggles that could have been avoided if I'd been able to open up a direct portal. For one, I wouldn't have been stranded in the south for as long as I'd been, and we could have reached Varlith so much faster. Hell, we could have returned home to Mistral much sooner than we did. In fact, there were so many instances over the past year that could have been remedied if I could simply open a portal and teleport to a location. The more I thought about it, the more furious I became, and soon my hands shook with rage. I managed to steady myself, but it took all of my willpower to not explode at the Arkan.
As I keep mentioning, opening a direct portal requires quite a bit of mana already, Sarah began slowly. The further the distance, the more mana it requires. Traveling across the world in one go would have destroyed you completely, especially with it being your first try. If I'd told you about them while we were in the Southern Continent, you would have insisted on attempting, and you wouldn't be sitting here with your wife right now.
I suppose that's true, I sighed after I considered this for a moment. Since Varlay is closer to us now than it was in the south, would it be easier to get there?
Don't get me wrong, Master. I am being fully transparent when it comes to these details, Sarah stated. It will require much of your mana, but you should be able to handle the power. The distance is not so great.
So it's possible, I wondered, and I looked down at Nia.
The sooner she received medical attention, the sooner she could recover.
Yes, it is possible, Sarah said. I wouldn't have suggested it otherwise.
I resisted the urge to roll my eyes at the dark winged Arkan. How does it work? What do I do?
The key is concentration. You must remain completely focused, or else you will end up somewhere you did not intend.
Concentrate, I muttered. Got it. Now where do I concentrate on exactly? My destination?
You'll want to choose a location in Varlay you know well. Somewhere you can easily visualize every detail possible. The more familiar you are with the location, the more likely you are to open a portal to that exact spot.
That seems easy enough, I remarked.
I will assist you with the rest, Sarah continued. But you must concentrate no matter what. If your mind wanders even slightly during the process, you will not end up where you wish to be, and that could have devastating consequences for both you and your human wife.
I took a deep breath. I'd taken risks before, but this one was definitely the biggest gamble. I wanted to trust Sarah, and I really had no other choice. She was absolutely right. If we continued on the Pyreworm, Nia might not make it. The serpentine monster was fast, but mana depletion wasn't something that could wait. Even if we made it to Noel's Dev, we would still have to get back to the Academy, and Nia didn't have that kind of time.
Close your eyes and concentrate.
After another long inhale, I kissed the top of Nia's head, and then I closed my eyes. The motion of flying made the endeavor a little scary, but I let go of my fear and did my best to focus on my destination. Somewhere comfortable. Somewhere I could visualize. My immediate thought was our mansion, and more specifically, my bedroom back in Varlay. I surely knew it well enough to feel confident in my memory, and so I concentrated on every detail of the room. I imagined the light gray walls and the large window that sat in the middle of the wall opposite my bed. I pictured the dark wardrobe, the plush gray comforter that swelled over the bed frame, and my desk that held all of my school supplies and various other belongings. I felt a ripple run through me. Something was happening. I could feel it. A pressure started to build in my head, and I could feel my mana being dragged out of me. It was working. I needed to stay focused. I pictured Layla snuggled up against me, with Nia and Aaron flanking me on either side of the bed, and Syra and Freya sleeping soundly beside them. I pictured dressing in the morning with Nia on the edge of the bed, urging me to get a move on. My bedroom was completely safe. It was a place for me to unwind, relax, a place to dream, to play, and catnap with Dio. And most importantly, it was a place where I could curl up with my wives and lovers after a long day. Somewhere we could enjoy each other's company, show each other our love, and strengthen our connections to each other. Before we'd moved into the mansion, I'd never had a permanent room before. Maelor and I traveled around so often in my childhood and stayed in so many inns that I'd never had a place to think of as my own. It really hadn't been until my first year at the Academy that I'd had a place to call my own, and even then I'd shared the dorm room with Brayden, which wasn't a terrible thing by any means. The Oxlike Summoner and I shared plenty of great times in that room. I caught myself thinking about my secret trysts with Layla, my talks with Brayden, and the late nights I spent studying. That room had been the location for so many firsts, and so many loving nights. Suddenly, my head erupted with a splitting pain I'd never experienced before, and the rest of my body began to weaken. My heart rate accelerated, but I could feel the rest of me begin to crash. I clung to Nia and opened my eyes for a split second. There was a shimmering outline in the sky directly in front of us, and it grew larger and brighter as the Pyreworm flew closer. But before I could get a better look at it, everything went black.